Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
We were studying on Wednesday night the book of Isaiah. In fact, we studied that book a little over 2 years. As we were studying from chapter 35, I remember reading and commenting at that time. In fact, there's a margin written in the notes of my notes. It says, "Preach a sermon on the highway of holiness." There are some passages of Scripture that just really capture our attention. There's something compelling about studying about this highway of holiness. And if there's something that I could be able to say this morning that would draw your attention to the grandeur of that way, I want to be able to do it. It was Isaiah looking forward to the time of the kingdom and all of the great things that would be a part of it. You and I are so privileged to live in the day and the age of the New Testament church, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be able to enjoy all the privileges and all the blessings that are found in it. I want you to open your Bibles there to Isaiah 35 for just a moment. This is not going to be a rehearsal of the Wednesday night Bible class. It's going to be a little bit different. What it is going to do is to try to put the figure in your mind and then from that figure be able to preach a lesson from God's Word. Notice with me, if you will, the picture there in those first several verses is that of an oasis. You have the picture of a desert. Imagine a barren land. No one lives there. There's nothing but dry, dusty ground. And as he begins in verse 5, he says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Whereas the ground had been all just barren, dry, now it's a beautiful oasis for God's people. No longer are the people there suffering and going through difficult, trying times. You see the picture of people who cannot speak singing the praises of God. You see people who cannot walk jumping about and leaping like a deer." What a beautiful picture Isaiah is trying to paint of the Lord's kingdom and all the glories that will be a part of it. But then I want you to imagine there is that place, but there has to be a way there. There has to be a way to arrive at that beautiful place. And so what he will say in chapter 40, chapter 57, and chapter 62 is, there's got to be a place made or a way made there. In chapter 40, verses 3 and 4, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth." Many of you may remember just a few years ago that on the way to Murfreesboro, you would go to Woodbury, and then you would find a very crooked road that would go all the way to Murfreesboro, and you would have to turn some very sharp, dangerous curves, and you would have to go through some places. You would go up a hill and down, and then the highway department decided to make a straight road, a smooth road, an easy road to be able to travel on, and a safe way at that. Well, I want you to picture in your mind what God says, "Here is Zion. Here is this beautiful place, and I want there to be a highway for my people to be able to travel on." And obviously you notice that John the Baptist was certainly a part of that from the quotation in verse 3. So go to chapter 57, verse 14. And one shall say, heap it up, heap it up. Prepare the way. Take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. He says, I don't want there to be anything that's going to hinder my people. I want all the stumbling blocks to be removed. I want it to be a smooth pathway. Going to chapter 62. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the peoples. Now he's saying, I want you to go and fill it up where it's a smooth way. You're not going to go up and down. I want it to be flat. And I want it to be built up so that people can be able to walk on it. But I want you to notice the latter part there, verse 10. Lift up a banner for the people. Make a big sign that says, this is the way to heaven. If you're driving on one of our interstate highways, you'll notice before you arrive at your destination, there'll be a big sign that will say, turn here, exit 1 mile. You have to understand, there is a sign in the Bible that says, this is the way to heaven. Follow it. This is the path. It is called the highway of holiness. Isaiah 35, verse 8. Isaiah is going to talk about in verses 8 through 10 a couple of characteristics of it. You could expand this lesson into an hour and a half lesson, but I know that some of you would not be prepared for that length of stay, so we're going to look at two things. Number one, it is a holy way, and number two, it is a safe way. And I believe that if I can convey these two points in the next few minutes, and you can grasp them and understand them, then number one, you're going to have a lot greater appreciation for the Lord's plan. And then number two, if you're not right with the Lord, you will have a motivation to want to obey Him. Let's look first of all at the holy way. And let me ask you a question. You think about how you arrived here this morning. Did you arrive from the west, drive down Bobby Branch Road, and then as it becomes Nola Lane, is that the way that you arrived? Or did some of you do, as I did, come from the south and you drive up the old Smithville Road and that's the way you arrived? Or did some of you come from the north and drive Yeager Road? I know some who did. You see, there have been a number of different ways to arrive here, and the question then, does it matter? No. It doesn't matter which road you took as long as you arrived here. There's an idea that's circulated among many people is we're all going to go to heaven. We're just taking different roads to arrive there. And they would use the same illustration as if I used. But there's a problem. And that problem is in the Bible there is only one way to arrive at heaven. If you go to Matthew's account of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus there says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way to life, and few there are who find it. That means there are just two ways that man can travel in life. Either you're on this broad way that leads to destruction, to hell, or you are on this highway of holiness that leads to Zion, that leads to heaven. That's what the Lord said. If I go to Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, Paul says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. God is wanting us to understand the importance of one. Just like there are not many gods, there's just one God. There are not many faiths, there's just one faith. there are not many ways to heaven. There's just one. Jesus, when he discussed with his disciples in John 14 that night in that upper room, he said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except through me." It's got to be on this highway of holiness. Now, for me to grasp this and to understand this, there's an important passage of Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh." The picture that the writer of the book of Hebrews is using is heaven is pictured as the Holy of Holies, like in the temple, the tabernacle. In chapter 6, he said that Jesus, as a forerunner, has entered into heaven for us. And when you get to chapter 10, it says, He has consecrated for us a new and a living way. We're talking about the highway to holiness, to heaven. Now, that's going to bring me to understand what this really means. What does it mean to say that it's holy? Holy. It means it's special. It means it's reserved for God's service. Let me give you some illustrations from the Old Testament. We all know about Moses when he went to the top of Mount Sinai. Before he ever had opportunity to do much for leading God's people. We know about the burning bush, and it says in Exodus 3:5, God said to him, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for this place is holy ground." What made it holy ground? It's because God was there. It's because there should be reverence. There should be respect. This is God's place. And what you do, Moses, is whenever you're in God's place, you take your shoes off. You respect this place. Let me carry it to another illustration. In Exodus chapter 30, verses 32 and 33, this was a passage that was used at the open forum week before last, and I, at the time, I thought, that is such a good principle, such a good point to make about what holiness should be. In Exodus chapter 30, Moses is being instructed about the work and the organization of the priesthood. And one of the things that he is going to describe there in the worship of the tabernacle and in the administration of the priesthood is the anointing oil. And here's what he says. "It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make it like any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds anything like it, whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people." God said, this is not just ordinary oil. The composition of it, the chemicals that make it up, he said, that's what I want. I don't want you to make it and use it for something else. You don't take the same formula, if you will, and make it and use it for man. He said, this oil that's been set aside, he said, you don't just put it on anybody. This is special. This is holy. There are some times we have to understand the importance of holiness, how special things are to God. This morning when we sang our songs, these are holy songs because they're reserved for the worship of God. They're reserved for respect to Him. When we partook of the Lord's Supper, those emblems became holy and special because they were set apart for God's service. We should never mock it. We should never belittle it. The Corinthians did that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and Paul upbraided them. To be holy is to be special, set apart for God's service. Now let us understand who these people are. These are holy people too. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people to Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Everywhere those Israelites went, they were special. They were special to God. He was going to use them to bring the Savior into the world. When I come to the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, who that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Do you realize that Christians here at the Church of Christ at Bybee Branch are holy people? Holy, devoted to God, special in God's eyes. We're not ordinary. We shouldn't act like ordinary people. We should act better than that. In Titus 2:14, he says, "Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every iniquity or every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous of good works." The truth is, some people are on a spiritual path in life. Other people are on a worldly path in life. You are either on the highway of holiness, or you're on the interstate superhighway to hell. It's that simple. If you are on the holy highway, then you've got to be a holy people. Going back to verse 8. "The unclean shall not walk there." The unclean shall not walk there. Why will they not walk there? They don't want to. That's not what they choose to do. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, which we will be studying in a few weeks on Wednesday night, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk in it." God says, "I want you to go back to the old paths, to the paths that have been set before you." And they said, "No, we want something modern. We want something new. We're not going to walk that way." It's so sad. This generation in which we live today, how many people say, "I'm not going to go the way of righteousness. I'm not going to go the way of holiness. I'm going to live my way and do my thing." The unclean will not walk there. One who will not walk in heaven's way cannot enter heaven's city. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, John writes from Patmos, "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." If you don't travel the highway of holiness, heaven's road, you can't make it to heaven. The redeemed and the ransomed, from verse 10, walk there with joy and gladness. They're walking down that road singing the songs of joy. They're happy to be there. It's a highway of holiness. There are other things I'd like to say about the holy way, but time is fleeting, and now I need to talk about the safe way. And there he said, even the wayfaring man, if you're reading the original King James, "Though a fool walks there, he'll not go astray, he'll not err." Normally, a fool is a person who denies God and plots his own course. You see, a fool doesn't want to acknowledge the fact that there's a greater power and that God is in control. In Psalms 10, he says, all his thoughts are, there is no God. You come to Psalms 14, verse 1, and David said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none who does good. You see, in his mind, he's not thinking about God. He's thinking about worldly things. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 12:15. Normally, a fool is a person who says, I'm not looking to God to give me any guidance. I am not even looking at those round about me. I'm going to do it my way. But if a man will walk on this road, even though he may be foolish, he won't go astray. Now, foolish people can be counted wise if they'll do what is right. In Proverbs 17:28, he says, even a fool is counted wise when he shuts his lips, or when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. Are you like me? Do you sometimes do foolish things? Yes. Do we sometimes go the wrong way? But you see, if we'll stay on this road, the highway of holiness, there's safety there. If we'll just stay in the pathway and not deviate, not go astray. I find it real interesting the way he talks about the line. There's not going to be a line there. No ravenous beast, nothing that can kill you and tear you apart. There's just some places where lions can't get you. I want you to go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 through 37. David is in the valley of Elah. And the army of the Philistines is on this side of the valley, and the Israelites are on this side of the valley. The champion of the Philistines, whose name is Goliath, about 9 feet tall, has been taunting the Israelites and saying, you know, send us out a champion, let's fight. The armies of the Israelites are quaking. Saul the king is gripped with fear. A young shepherd boy named David comes up and listen to what he says. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep your father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Here's David. And the lion can't hurt him because God is with him. You come further to the book of Daniel. You remember near Daniel's end of his life, when now it's the Medes and the Persians who are ruling, there was a law passed that no one could worship his God for a period of time. And Daniel did as he had always done. He opened his door toward Jerusalem, or his windows toward Jerusalem, and prayed. And what happens is the king has to throw Daniel in the lion's den. And in verse 16 we read, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke to Daniel, saying, Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. You drop down to verse 21. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Let me tell you something. If you walk on the highway of holiness, the lions can't get you. In fact, As long as a person walks with the Lord, the devil can't hurt you. Listen to Jesus in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. If you're on the highway of holiness, and you're walking with the Lord, and you're following the Lord, you don't have to worry about the devil. When you have to worry about the devil is when you get off of the highway of holiness from following the Lord. Well, there's so much more that could and should be said. But I want to end with a question. Are you on the right road? You know where you are or not. You know whether or not your life is headed in the right direction and you're walking with the Lord, or whether or not you've allowed yourself to take a detour. You know, sometimes we take a detour even with the good means. We think, well, I'll just get off for a little while and then I'll get back on the road, the right road. But you know what happens? We find ourselves going and going and going and going the wrong direction. A couple years ago, one of my uncles passed away in central Alabama. And I've been to that area of the country several times. And there's actually a way that you have to go around one of the courthouse squares. And when I got there, I turned the wrong direction thinking I was going to take a detour. I drove for several miles before I realized, you know what, this doesn't look familiar to me. Had to turn around and go back. Go back to where I got off at. And then get back on the correct road. Have you taken a detour? Have you allowed yourself to go in the wrong direction? Maybe with the right intentions, but now you're looking at your life and you see in your own life, I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I ought to be. The highway of holiness leads to heaven. Are you on it? If you're not, then we want to encourage you this morning. We're going to sing this song. And if you need to respond to become a Christian,